The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Well, today I'm going to continue what I started 3 months ago. So let's see if you remember. In the first installment of this sort of talk, we looked at, come on, tell me someone who was here. Claudia always remembers. Thank you, Claudia. What did we look at, Claudia? Yeah. We looked at the fruits of the Spirit and we only had time to look at the first four. So today is the second instalment and we're going to look at the next five to make nine. 4 and 5 equals 9. Right. I said then that God asks us to produce in our lives the fruit He has placed within us as Christians. We don't just pluck it from the tree and take it. He gives them to us. But we have to practice, choose, and grow them in our lives. That's our responsibility. And that's something we should be doing daily. Doesn't happen overnight. We need to choose to let the Holy Spirit produce in us the character of Jesus. So we've got some work to do. We become Christians and then we start to work. We don't work to become Christians. We become Christians and then we start to work. And we need to practice and develop and nurture the fruit in our lives. To me, this practice and development doesn't seem any easier for the young or the older Christian. About the same, perhaps sometimes harder. But we need to practice daily becoming more like Jesus. So just to revise, for those people who didn't come to my first little edition, we'll look at look at the first four because we're going to finish them today. And I hope you remember them. So overhead number 3. Right, first one was love. Love. And I found a really, if any of you have got the Message Bible, you'll find an incredible version of that First Corinthians. It's not 3, it's 13. I made that error and I haven't changed the overhead. This is what it says. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Hate that word. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Doesn't pleasure in this flowering of truth. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Whoa, who of us is like that? Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Wow. So if you've got a Message Bible, read that several times. For what is love? By our reflection of His love, we will be known. Love is not about doing, though. It's about being. It can be shown to our enemies. And we say with our treatment of others, I respect you so much, I will only do what is right for you. Love. Second one, joy. Joy. Joy is crucial to our daily existence. We can have joy when we have little or no cause to be happy. Wow. And we need that joy that remains unshaken and unshakable when people fail us and circumstances or health fail us. And by fixing our eye on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Joy. Joy. Practice it every day. Don't have to go laughing and singing and dancing, but that deep, deep well of joy should be there every day. Next one. Peace or serenity. Peace is as big as you allow it to be. Absolutely choosing to know that Jesus is God and that He is in control is the key to peace. He is in control of everything, absolutely everything that happens. Putting problems and issues you have in Jesus' hands is a huge part of developing peace that will sustain you as you live this Christian life. Put everything into His hands. Every trouble that comes your way, every delight that comes your way, put it in His hands. And that will develop the peace in your life. And the last one we had on 3 months ago was patience. And that's the one I don't have much of, but I'm getting there. Long-suffering, sticking with things, patience. And we grow our patience when we face difficulties and get through them in God's way. And I think we mentioned things like driving and develops our patience. Matthew, patience. waiting on the telephone. Waiting while they tell you to ring, press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 10. Waiting is developing our patience. Standing in line at the bank and at Centrelink and the post office. Wow, develops our patience. Finding that you've just missed a bus by 30 seconds. Dealing with family members is a good one. Workmates. And if you... on selling things, the customers, develops our patience. You know, God is patient, incredibly patient with us. And the entire Bible is a study of the astonishing patience of God. So patient with His people. I don't know how we did it, but then He is God and He is patience. And let's practice patience in those difficult situations. So that was the four we had last time, and now we're moving on. And I had some thoughts about some of these. It is often in the harder situations, as we choose to practice and apply these gifts, and that the fruit in our lives and characters grow more successfully. And we have some examples of this, as I was thinking. Diamonds. I don't know how many of you got any real diamonds around, but they become more beautiful, even larger and more colourful when there's more pressure applied on them as they form. And so this fruit is a sort of a diamond, aren't they? And then back into the garden, fruit and flowers and vegetables grow more abundant and tasty when they are given regular food and water. And we need to applying this fruit and these qualities to our lives becomes that regular food and water that develops makes our development in Christ more beautiful and more tasty. So now let's look at the other five fruits of the Spirit that we need to practice and develop. And the first one is kindness. Or a word for kindness is compassion. Psalm 117 verse 2. His merciful kindness is great toward us. His merciful kindness, his merciful compassion. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow, we've got a real direction there in kindness. The Holy Spirit wants us to show kindness. He is a reservoir of kindness to us. Biblical kindness is not related to deeds, but rather describes a person's personality or disposition. So what are we to do to show kindness? We're to give. We're to help. We're to be useful. We're to encourage kindness, compassion to everyone around us. There are few people anywhere who can resist the gentle grace of kindness. Our biggest problem is sometimes applying kindness at home. Home is often the hardest place to show that kindness. When I was teaching a long, long time ago, mums and dads used to come up to me and I'd say, oh, your little Billy or whatever is a great kid in school. He's really kind to the others and he's really good at whatever. And the mothers and the fathers used to say, oh, you must have a different Billy than we've got. And so we often at home, we neglect to show that kindness, that compassion to others around us. Really hard. They know us so well. They know us when we'll fly off the handle. They know that. So they're probably all often niggling at us. But kindness that responds to that is far more powerful than niggle back. It's the hard place where the pressure to be kind is upon us. And especially at home. And if the action or the word is not kind, don't do it. So watch out for kindness and compassion as it grows in you over the weeks and days and months and years that you're practicing it. Next one, goodness or holiness. Goodness or holiness. Micah, way back in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 8, says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Again, we have this incredible example from God and Jesus on what this fruit looks like. Goodness, holiness. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow, it's a sort of all-encompassing thing. God doesn't ask us to do something that he hasn't. And he hasn't shown us what it looks like. Doesn't just drop it out from the sky and say, hey, this is a good idea. He's shown us first what this fruit looks like, and we are to copy that and be like that in our lives. So as with the other fruits of the Spirit, goodness shows itself in actions. You can't just go around saying, oh, I'm good, you're not. No, good chef, bad chef on television confuses me no end. It shows it in action. I know right here in our church there are plenty of good things happening in our church. Assisting others when they are sick, sending cards, writing letters, making telephone calls to keep connected with people, sharing and giving. All those things are happening. They're sort of not shown in big detail, but they're happening. We know those things. But we don't do these things to earn our salvation. That doesn't work. We don't earn our salvation by these good things that we do. We do these things because we know that God is good to us and we want to spread that goodness around. So again, there's that. God is good. We become good like he is. And there's a strong leading in life to be good and to do good. Little kids will say, am I being good? They don't say, am I being bad usually, although that's very sad when you hear it, when people will say, I'm just bad. No, no, no. They're more likely to say, I am good. Am I being good? Am I being good? So never, ever, ever suppress that voice of goodness. It often makes it uncomfortable then to do the wrong thing. There was a little technique I used to tell to parents when they were having trouble with their kids. I'd say, look around the room and see if you can see someone, one of the children or someone being good, and make a comment on it. Oh, I like the way you're sitting so quietly watching telly. And it's amazing how the others will copy. A group, it works like crazy. In a big group, I've worked with big groups probably all my life. And, you know, they'll all be mucking up and you'll notice one child sitting there appropriately. And so instead of growling like crazy and calling them all naughty, you look at the one and you say, we'll do Billy again. Billy, oh, aren't you looking ready to learn? That's great, and I really appreciate that you are trying to learn from me. And the others all sort of all go, and sit up. Amazing. It's a power about noticing when people are good. Good like Jesus. There's a power in that. And we need to develop this gentleness, this goodness, this meekness, this humbleness, just like Jesus. Practicing, choosing to be like this every day, even at home. Okay, we're nearly at the end, aren't we? We've got faithfulness, kindness, we've done kindness, goodness. Oh, we've got faithfulness now. Oh dear, I turned over one too many page. Faithfulness, loyal and dependable. Be loyal and dependable. When I was a Royal Ranger years ago, we had a code that we had to learn. The kids had to learn that we had to learn it. And one point of it was faithfulness. And faithfulness had a meaning to the Rangers, but it was a good meaning. It was a meaning that I remember even now. What does faithfulness mean? It means to be loyal to our church, family, organisations and friends. Now, the kids had to learn that, and it stands. And I meet people who've been Royal Rangers years ago, and they can quote that on. faithfulness, being to be loyal to our church, family, organizations, and friends. Are you loyal? Loyalty is an incredible thing to demonstrate. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, respond to the greatness of our God, the rock. That's a chorus, isn't it? His works are perfect, and the way he works is fair and just. A God you can depend upon, no exceptions. So again, God demonstrates what loyalty looks like. Someone you can depend upon, no exceptions. 2 Timothy 2:21, Paul directs us to be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Loyalty, faithfulness. Again, our example for this is God himself. Faithfulness can be a rare quality today. We hear of unfaithful marriage partners, untrustworthy employees and employers, politicians, we'll put them in there because there's a few of them around, unfaithfulness in the news that's delivered in our newspapers with biases and things. And then we hear about people who can't be relied upon to do what they've promised. There's lots of unfaithfulness around, but we want to be faithful. Faithful in all things to Christ, to our church, to our family, to our organisations we might belong to, and to our friends. What an encouragement to know someone who you can depend on no matter what. Think right now of someone that you know you can depend on no matter what. Jesus has the highest praise for those who are faithful. They can be trusted with much. He commands us in Revelation 2:10 to be faithful even to the point of death, and we will earn a crown of life. We mightn't earn a knighthood or get to have a dame title, but when we're faithful, we will earn a crown of life. Isn't that amazing? Faithfulness. Practice being faithful and loyal. Practice day by day. Grow it in your lives. On to the next one, the second last one. Gentleness. Meek. And never forceful. Matthew 11 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's telling us again, it's in him. We've had our demonstration in him. We are to be like that. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not the riches, not the strong ones, not the people who are not gentle, the people who are hard-hearted, not them, but the meek. The gentle, never forceful people will inherit the earth. Gentleness has less to do with the way we handle others. It's not just that. It's an inward grace of the soul and a calmness toward God. Gentle people accept God's dealings with them and allow their experiences to enhance the closeness of their relationship with him. Wow, all those things that happen to us, we can apply gentleness to them, meekness. Not just sit down and cower, but meekness. God is causing me to grow And I often think of those smooth stones you buy so many of these days, you know, river stones to put in your garden. They are so smooth. Why are they smooth? Because they've rubbed and rubbed and rubbed against other stones in that creek or river for such a long time, they've become smooth, and we want them in our gardens, or we want them other places as well, I suppose. But that has enhanced them. And that meekness, as we rub against people, maybe we don't like or maybe we do, but we rub against them every day and it smooths us out. We become a meek, gentle person like Jesus. People, and we value people that we can bear our souls to or share our deepest secrets. We want to be responded to, but we don't want to be responded to with cruelty, with sarcasm. That's awful, isn't it, when we get a sarcastic comment instead of a gentle comment. We want people to listen to us and really listen, but not forcefully. We want that. And those kind of people that we can communicate with, who can do that, and as we become that too, we become valued people. And we need to develop that gentleness of character. And I know there are people here that have that beautiful gentleness of character. And so keep developing it. Get a high degree in gentleness from the University of Life or something. But it being able to do those things, meekness, being meek and gentle, is what Jesus was and what he wants us to be. The final one is probably the hardest, I think. Woo! The final one's the hardest. Self-control. Wow. I used to go to a school where the motto was self-control. And Latin for self-control is potens sui. And we had to learn that, and it was self-control. Directing our energy and lots about us wisely. Lots about this in the Bible. Proverbs 25:28. For example, says, whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So we're going to have some rule over ourselves and how we behave, what we choose to do. James 1:19-20 from the Message Bible says, post this at all intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. That's interesting, isn't it? Got to keep reading that. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. I love the way the Message Bible puts in something that we can really understand into some of these concepts. Self-control. Stay in control of ourselves. And choose to be in control. Self-control is not a fruit that commands our attention unless we lack it. Its exercise is often unseen. We don't see people. There's not a light like on the computer coming on saying, now self-control is in operation. Nothing like that. We are self-controlled people. Unless we see it or hear it, we seldom know how much people struggle with the possession of self-control. It's a struggle one. It's a hard one. You all know people who have very little self-control. Again, I consider it to be a problem that is seen more in the home than out in public. We need to be prepared ahead of time through prayer, Bible study, and even counselling that leads to dependence on God for manifestation of the complete 9 fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Wow. Self-control, that high one, that whole one. Let's look at the next overhead, which is a pretty complex one, and looking at Colossians 3, where it really looks at this again. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Next overhead continues. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I guess that says it all. It's all there in a nutshell. And what I wanted to do before we end today, last time I gave out a sheet that comes from, what's his name? I don't know. Wasn't my thing. Max Lucado. He does a lot of writing, and I like his writing's very similar to the message. And I gave it out, and I asked you all to practice the first 4. I'd like to have time to ask how you practice them, but I won't. And I've got about 30-something copies here. So it definitely, if you didn't get one last time, take it. If you did, share one with someone else for today. So thanks, Keith. This is called kindness. Be useful. Okay, take one and we'll go through it and have a look at what Max Lucado says about these. Because I'm getting a picture of the work we need to do and the choices we need to make daily in order to become mature and well-developed in our Christian lives. So we'll go just through it and have a look and see the choices that he says he makes daily. Perhaps not all of them are appropriate to you, but just looking at them. We'll start at the bottom. No, we won't. We'll start about a third of the way through. Where he calls it grace for the moment. The refuge of the early morning will be invaded by decisions to be made and deadlines to be met. For the next 12 hours, I will be exposed to the day's demands. It is now that I must make a choice. Because of Calvary, I'm free to choose. And so, I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today, I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstance. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of a lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. Wow. That'd be great to be completely like that, wouldn't it? We can be with practice. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. Wonder what he says about it. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. He calls them inconveniences, those long telephone things. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I'll invite him to do so. How often have you done that in the supermarket or the post office or somewhere? Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will thank God for a moment to pray. Well, something to try, isn't it? Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. That's probably for the uni students among us. Naomi wasn't listening. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone. Kind to the rich, for they are afraid. And kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. What an amazing quality. I will be overlooked before I will boast. I will confess before I will accuse. I choose faithfulness. This one probably doesn't apply how he's written it to everyone, but we'll read it anyway. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it only be in praise. If I clench my fist, may it only be in prayer. Oh, I'm sorry, I've run the wrong one. I choose, go back to faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. Some people don't, do they? My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. And my children will never fear that their father will not come home. I've added a bit more. Or will put them down in any way. Think about that one. Then I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it only be in praise. If I clench my fist, may it only be in prayer. If I make a demand, may it only be of myself. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I've gone again. I choose self-control. Gee, they get a bit ugh. I choose self-control. I'm a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I will be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by faith. I will be influenced only by God. I will be taught only by Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. To these I commit my day. If I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will seek his grace. And then, when the day is done, I will place my head on my pillow and rest. What amazing... I've got that in a book and I've read it and read it and read it and read it and think, oh, wow. And it gives me inspiration to choose, to practice, to be like Jesus, to take these fruit that God has given to us in our lives and to develop them. The hard ones are always going to be the hard ones for some of us. But we will practice them anyway. Make sense? You're going to practice? You're going to practice this time? Now that you've got nine of them to practice, you've got to do a lot of work. Okay. I think we'll finish with that, and we'll pray and have our cup of tea or coffee and practice this fruit as we even have our coffee and tea today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the hopes that we have that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the fruit of thy spirit that comes with our salvation. Lord, we just thank you for the example that you've given us to be like you. And Father, we want to pray that as each person goes their way today, Lord, that you will bless them, bless their homes, bless their workplaces, bless their schools, bless wherever they are, Lord, so that they might be a shining light for Jesus each day in whatever they do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings and love and care. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.